You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, as always, Mark King, for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Make sure you follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter as well at King_producer. You can ask questions. We can just generally talk Grizzlies on Twitter. That's where you can find me most of the time. It's been a long weekend since we last spoke. I hope everybody's Thanksgiving went well. It's one of those holidays, I think, that drags on throughout the weekend. I know that some people still do the stuff to the weekend, so I hope everybody's Thanksgiving was good. I also just want to thank everybody again for downloading the podcast, listening, asking questions. So it's been a great few weeks to the show, but it's been a long weekend. The Grizzlies, two losses in a row. They lost to the Clippers on Friday night. Or Friday, I guess at mid-afternoon. It was Friday now by the time the game was over. But 112-107, Mike Conley fouls out in that game. We'll talk about that game for just a minute and some reactions to that. We'll also hear game sound or player sound from the Knicks lost. That was Sunday, again, earlier game than normal. It was a 5 o'clock game. They lose to the Knicks 103-98. And we'll hear some player sound from that game. As well, we'll talk generally. That's a lot to unpack of these last couple losses. So we'll generally talk about some different lineup combinations, just kind of what we think might, you know, what the Grizzlies should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, and why they're generally, you know, why they had losses, they had 5 wins in a row, or playing really well. Everybody was really excited, and now it feels like the world's crumbling, especially on Grizz Twitter. But that tends to be the reactions on that particular social media website. So, but stick with us. We'll also do our Monday mailbag in the middle segment. I've got several questions from people. We'll talk about those questions and answers and get to those in the middle segment. But let's, I do want to start by talking about this Clippers loss. Something that, you know, this game went to overtime. It honestly should have never went to overtime. You know, it's a game that they really honestly just gave away. Should not have given that game away at all. They had Mike Conley foul out late on a, you know, the officiating. I don't want to be that guy who talks about the officials, but you know, it is not. There's been a lot of games this year that has not been great, and I don't know. You know, it's happened in several games where I feel like we're having this conversation where there's just generally a lot of whistles. Mike Conley fouls out of that game and. JaMychal Green fouls out of that game. Very chippy game. Patrick Beverley fouls out of that game. Mike Conley picks up his foul, or his 6th foul, on just a really, really crappy call. And the Grizzlies really had this lead. They had this game, what I thought wouldn't be locked up. I mean, I think like 3 minutes ago, I turned to a friend of mine who was watching the game with him. I said, the Grizzlies are going to win this game. He kind of got excited. I said, you know, it was kind of joking about how the Grizzlies were going to win another one. And then it just crumbled. You know, the biggest factor in this game is Mike Conley fouling out. Jaren Jackson was great in this game. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. You know, Marc Gasol was really good. 27 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Just a really good game from those guys. But then late in the game, in the overtime, you know, especially in the overtime, Marc Gasol, as we talked about on this podcast, is not the guy that's going out and getting you, is going to be aggressive enough, forcibly aggressive enough to get you buckets. It's just not going to happen. And so when you're forced out there to have Mike Conley, when he's not out there, you know, then you're forced to do some other things that you really aren't used to. You know, the biggest thing being you have Garrett Temple out there and Shelvin Mack out there who are largely role players. You know, they are good on this team because of the people who are around them. Let's be very, very clear about that. I like Shelvin Mack. I like Garrett Temple. I think they're good players, but they are good players within the offense. They are good players within what the Grizzlies structured or trying to do. Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack trying to take people a one-on-one and off the dribble and in pick and roll situations is not, that's not what they should be doing. Garrett Temple was not good in this game. 6 points, three rebounds, two steals. I mean, just not enough. You know, he's 2 for 8 from the field. Just not enough. And you know, at the end of the game, it really boiled down to you're asking your role players to go out there and do too much for you. You know, you're asking people like Garrett Temple, Shelvin Mack, Wayne Selden, Kyle Anderson. You're asking your role players to do too much. And Kyle Anderson, you know, is a starter, but he's not going to be a star. Kyle Anderson, what he should be for you, he should be a solid starter. That's what he should be for you. So just really disappointing in this loss, the fact that they really had it sewed up. I can't remember how much they were up by. I'd have to go look at the play-by-play, but they were up by, I believe, 8 or 9 with 3 minutes left. I mean, they were should not have lost this game in any way, shape, or fashion. But they threw it away. That's just what I think. It's a game that they definitely should have won and definitely could have won. Now, at the end of the game, there was a foul call on Mark that was just, I mean, when I first saw it real time, I said, that's a foul. And then I went back and watched it in on replay, and I said, nah, that's not a foul. He didn't even touch him. But in real time, it looked way worse than it actually was. And that's probably, you know, that's probably what the ref saw. It just looked way worse than it was. And then you go back and look at it, that's not really a foul. But at that point, you can't go back and look and see if it's not or not. If it is or is not a foul, you're stuck with the call. And so they were only able to go back and look at if it was a 2-shot foul, a 3-shot foul, ends up being a 3-shot foul. You know, I guess it goes back to it's kind of karma for the Grizzlies not getting the foul call. LaMarcus Aldridge the night before on the Spurs, or 2 nights before on the Spurs, Wednesday night last week. So, you know, karma's a bitch. So it is what it is. And they end up, you know, sinking those free throws and come back in overtime and winning. And to be quite honest, I mean, Grizzlies only scored 9 points in overtime. They score 14, you know, just not a game that you can really live with. And then the Grizzlies were awful, were just awful in that third quarter. They only scored 18 points, let the Clippers score 31 points in that quarter. You know, outside of those two things, you know, you win the ball game. But the Grizzlies have had known problems with third quarters, and this was definitely one of them. But we'll move on to the Knicks game. Grizzlies lose to the Knicks 98-103. Let's start with some player sound, and then we'll talk about the actual game after that. But let's start with who we have first here. Let's start with Marc Gasol.
You know, we got a little too cool defensively, not enough urgency. You know, too many mismatches, cross-matched, easy layups, and that, you know, they made us pay for that. We had to control the game, and then it took a lot of energy to make, you know, to get close again. And at that point, it's, you know, we kind of ran out of gas at the end.
In terms of offensively, I mean, obviously you and Mike had big games. What do you think it's going to take to get the supporting cast going like it was, you know, a week or two ago?
Run. We got to run. We got to get our stops and run. Get easy layups, and once we, you know, we run and create triggers, shots are going to be a lot easier. You know, when it slows down, like obviously we got to go through Mike or myself. But you know, once when it's the break, it you know, it's kind of like a free for all. Whoever hustles the most is going to get it.
You and JB, everyone's talked pretty highly of what Jaren could do. Of course, like 6 for 6 from the floor. Nights like this, you know, would be helpful if, you know, if he were a little bit more maybe involved, you know, as far as just getting more shots up.
Yeah. We don't dictate sort of who takes the shot. The game kind of dictates it. Obviously, me and Mike are going to take a higher load. But, you know, we don't really dictate. JJ, you're going to take 6 to 8 shots. No, we really don't. And that's how the game was. And they did a good job of, you know, of rotating and switching and keeping people out of pain and collapsing it. So we got to do a better job of do not let people kind of like crowd us and cheat kind of our offense.
You said that the team needed to get more stops in order to get out and run and get easier shots.
Yeah.
It looks like one of the differences the last two games is that you're not generating turnovers where you were earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think our paint is more wide open. I think we our weak side is a little too concerned about their man. We got to put a little more ball. It all starts on the ball. Our whole defense starts with the guy on the ball. If that guy on the ball is putting good pressure, it did.
And I cut it short on Mark because Jaron was actually ready to talk, so we ran up there and talked to him. So here's Jaron.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Listen, I know you're probably disappointed in the loss, but that was the first game of the season I think you've closed out a close game, extended period. You had to feel good about being on the floor?
Yeah, whenever you're on the floor in a game, you got to do what your assignment is, do your job to help us win, help the team win. Being out there late, I knew I had to play smart. Every possession counts.
You've been shooting three ball well the last several games. Do you feel like you've gotten more comfortable with sort of the speed of the NBA game or your spots, or is it just a good stretch?
Just shot more. Just got more reps up and felt good. Probably was in a slump, I guess. I didn't look at the stats then, but I guess now I'm feeling better about it.
Seven blocks tonight, that ties the Grizzlies record. You've been blocking shots at a prolific rate over the past few weeks. Does that mean anything to you to see just how that part of the game has translated so soon in the NBA?
I'm just trying to help the guards or help myself, if someone's attacking me and picking my moments better, trying not to pick up a foul, mostly just trying to get the ball at its peak. And,
what has it been like finding the balance between you possibly doing a better job of not picking up fouls, just finding the balance between staying aggressive or fun defense?
I knew I'd get it eventually. I don't think I'm all the way there with it. I still foul a little bit, but I think eventually I'll find the clear balance in the world between fouls and blocking shots.
And lastly, here is Mike Conley.
I think we just hit a little lull there for a few minutes that allowed them to catch rhythm. They got some easy buckets. They started speeding the game up a little bit and were able to get some easy ones. And we didn't defend the way we are known to in that span. And once the game was tight, it was just who's going to make more plays and down the stretch, and they were the ones who did.
JB said he thought he might have overused you guys a little bit down the stretch. He looked a little gassed there. Do you think that was the case?
It can be tough, when you play 15, 16 straight minutes sometimes, and just the flow of the game, being involved in a lot of the actions, it can wear you down a little bit, but, no excuses for our team. Like, we still have to do the things to wrap up games like this, and we didn't do it.
Coming into tonight, you guys have been shooting, you have been making all the soccer shots since the Philly game. You've talked a lot about just conditioning everything this season. But do you feel like you've kind of turned the corner over the last few weeks as far as just your physical state?
Yeah, for sure. I think, tonight a lot of the shots that I shot just went in and out. I would shoot them all over again. They were great looks and had great opportunities. And tonight just wasn't that night. But I'm getting better and better as these game goes, and I'm excited for our team.
Did you want to get that?
Is this mine?
From the top.
Mike, what can you say about Jaron's effort defensively, especially there in the fourth quarter?
Jaron stepped up, man. He made some great plays to give us opportunities to win the game. Obviously, it was a rough game. Cantor had a big game for him, and we threw a lot of bodies at him, but he was, he dominated tonight. And for Jaron to come back in that fourth quarter and still, just do the things he did one-on-one, guarding guards, big blocks, and give us extra possessions. That was huge.
There's been a lot.
That was Mike Conley there. It was actually his phone that was going off apparently set his alarm for this morning, and actually didn't say it set it for tonight, and that's why he didn't wake up apparently this morning. So a little story behind that, but that's largely what the Grizzlies players had to say. Talked to a few more, talked to Garrett Temple as well, just to see exactly what they think their offensive woes might be in that last crunch time of the game. But you know, I'll unpack this. There's a lot to talk about this game. I think the Grizzlies did some things wrong. I think they have stopped doing some things that they were doing well, that were leading to wins before, that are not necessarily helping them in this category now. We'll talk about that more in that third segment coming up, and I'll give you my thoughts on what the Grizzlies can do to get back on the right track. But coming up next, the next segment, we'll do our Monday mailbag, and then we'll get back talking about this Grizzlies next game and what the Grizzlies can to do to get back on the right track. That's coming up next after the break. Welcome back to the show again. Make sure you stay tuned for the third segment. We'll talk about what the Grizzlies can do to get back on the right track in terms of wins. We'll unpack this New York Knicks loss a little bit more, but I want to get to the money mailbag. And I first want to say thank you to all the people who sent questions in. I got questions via email, Twitter, DMs, it seems like every other sort, but we'll just do a couple for this episode, and we'll start with Will Fogelman. He sends in a question via email. With the talk with the Grizz signing Joakim Noah, do you think this is a sign that the Grizz are done with Ivan Rabb? It as reported actually this week that they actually are in terms of, actually they reported it at Sham, I think Sham's reported it, that the Grizzlies have been talking with Joakim Noah like for like 2 months, which is bizarre to me. Like, I don't know what you could be possibly talking about for 2 months to a potential 15th man on the roster who, if it's any more than a veteran minimum, will be grossly overpaid. So I'm not sure what they could be possibly talking about for 2 months, but it was reported they have been talking in talks with the to come to terms with the deal, and are expected to come to terms with a deal, so I guess sometime next week. So we'll see how that plays out. But in terms of just signing Joakim Noah and what the Grizzlies' thoughts on Avrab, clearly they want someone who can come in and guard bigger people, provide rebounding. You know, I'm not a fan of the Joakim Noah signing. I think we talked about this last week. And clearly, if you think that Ivan Rabb, who is a good rebounder, is actually, you know, he's on the smaller size. He's more of a power forward than he is a center. You know, clearly the Grizzlies do not expect Ivan Rabb to be there long term. I mean, he has seen very limited minutes in a time where, especially a couple weeks ago, in a time where they really needed him and they didn't have Jamal Green, and they needed an extra big at some points, especially rebounding. So whatever small playing time that he had with the team has gone, it was very quickly has gone. He went in and has been since gone out. So yeah, I'm not necessarily thinking they're done with Ivan Rabb because of the Joakim Noah signing. But, you know, whatever small team of the Grizzlies or Rabb had with his team, you know, I think it's probably, I'd say, more over than not because, you know, if they don't think they have anything in Rabb, they're not going to play him in times when you really need him, in times whenever you clearly don't have a third big, and you need rebounding at a time where rebounding is one of your biggest efficiencies, even as you're winning. You know, if you're not going to play him then, I don't know if there is a time you're going to play him. And so, you know, I think he'll probably, I'm not, you know, I don't think they'll waive him. I don't think they'll get cut him, but I think he'll probably spend a lot of time down in the G League this year. You know, that gives you an idea of what, even if the Grizzlies sniffing around, you know, them sniffing around with Noah and potentially signing Joakim Noah, it gives you at least an idea of what to think of Rabb. They don't think that he is their long-term backup big or in their rotation big, in any sort of the stretching imagination, because like I said, if you're not going to play him then, I don't know at what point you are going to play him. Whenever there's a situation like a couple weeks ago, you're literally had some people fouling out and they didn't even go to him, then. So, that gives you an answer to that question. Again, thank you for sending that in. This comes from Joe. This next question comes from Joe Utes at Mojo Joe _. That is a hell of a Twitter handle there, Joe. His question is, after Friday's loss to a good Clippers team and Sunday's loss to a bad Knicks team, what do you think the realistic expectations are for this Grizzlies team into December and looks like their toughest month on the schedule? That's correct. It doesn't get any easier for this Grizzlies team. They actually are going into a month where they are going to be playing 13 games of 15 games in December or against basically playoff caliber teams. So the stretch of games doesn't get any easier for the Grizzlies. So, it depends on what you think they can do defensively against these teams. You know, we've seen that some of these teams, they can really, I mean, even that Clippers game, they really play good defense for the most part. I mean, there was one slip up in the third quarter. Same thing with this Knicks team. So the same thing happened. They had one slip up in the third quarter, but largely, you know, it was a good game for them. And you've seen them stop other high power offenses like the Bucks, you know, who are playing really, really well. I've seen them stop other high power offenses and do it pretty easily, you know, do it pretty single-handedly. So it really, you know, I think that's one thing that you can probably be consistent on is their defense. But you look at the schedule in December and it's not easy. They got to play the Lakers twice, play the Trailblazers, Houston Rockets, Golden State Warriors. They play the Trailblazers twice, actually, the Houston Rockets twice. The Celtics come to town, got to play the Celtics who, you know, whatever you think of the Celtics, if you don't think they're a great team anymore, but they're still a good, you know, they're still a playoff caliber team in the East. Denver Nuggets are playoff team. New Orleans Pelicans have Anthony Davis. Even if they don't miss, you know, they're on the fringe right now. Even if they don't make the playoffs, they still have Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday. I mean, still have really good players. I mean, you got to play the 76ers again. I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams in this month of December that it's going to be very tough for them to come out with a winning record. You got 15 games in December. You got three more games until then, or two more games until then against the Raptors and the Nets. I expect to split that series with the Raptors and the Nets. And, you know, if you're looking at them, you really kind of want to go. If you can go and get 7 or 8 wins in December, which is kind of what I had them pegged for, you know, try to stay at 500 for that month. You get 7 or 8 wins in December. That puts you around 20-16, 21-15 if you split the series these next two games coming up. I mean, that's still not a bad. It's not where you are right now. You know, you're not going to be. I don't think you're going to be first place in the Western Conference, but you're still going to be in the playoff mix. It's not a bad place to be. I think the goal should be for the Grizzlies is try to be 500. But this will be the stretch if you really want to know how good this Grizzlies team is. This will be a stretch where it will give you a very good idea how good they realistically are, and it will depend a lot on that defense, but it will depend even more on offense. If they can't generate offense on the secondary unit outside of Mike and Mark, outside of those two players, they're not going to win many games. They have to get other offense from other people from somewhere. And we'll unpack that a little bit more. We'll talk about that a little bit more in particular in that next segment when we talk more about this Knicks game, because that's what bit them again. Same thing with the Clippers game. That's what bit them. It's not having offense, not having someone out there besides Mike and Mark that could score the damn basketball. And so you have someone in like Jaren Jackson who's got pretty good offensive skills. So they're going to have to do something to get him involved. So we'll talk about that more in that third segment. And let me find the last question. I believe it was on my, it came on the Locked On Grizz account. So let me just pull that up one moment. This is from Corbin at Corbin Forward NBA. And he asked thoughts on Kyle Anderson's season. Will the Grizzlies keep, and he has a two-part question. Will the Grizzlies keep this up and make the playoffs? I'll talk about the second part next. Will they keep it and make the playoffs? I think so. I think the Grizzlies have shown they are a playoff caliber team. I think they can compete with people in the NBA. Now, again, like I just said, they have to find a way to score the basketball. They can't just depend on Mike and Mark and put them in pick and roll all day long, because at some point you know exactly what they're going to do. You know they're going to put Mike in a pick and roll, and Mike's going to drive the basket, especially in late game situations and late game. You know, it's very predictable, and so you have to have people out there other than those two guys that can be a threat at least. You know you're going to go to Mike and Mark in the pick and roll and that type of offense, especially in clutch games and situations, because you want the ball in Mike's hands. You want that there. But you need other people that are threats to make this game, or to make people honest, to keep defensive players honest. You don't want people rotating early because they know Mike's coming down the lane and he's got to kick it out to Shelvin Mack for a contested three-pointer. You want guys at least to be honest. At least you can, start the, or initiate the offense in a different way. But do I think they'll keep it up, make the playoffs? Yes, I do. Now, as far as Kyle Anderson, I like Kyle Anderson. I think he's been largely pretty good. The offense has got a long way to go for him, but I also think that he's got to be put in better situations. He's got to be put in a situation from J.B. Bickerstaff to put the ball in his hands and let him bring the ball up the floor and let him be a playmaker. You know, something he literally talked about in his press conference when he got here was being able to be a playmaker on the ball, being able to get his teammates involved. So that's something that you definitely want him to try and do. He's not shot the ball really well at all this season so far. But he's done a lot of things on the defensive end that you really like. There are games where he has 14 points. I think he's only had double-digit points three games as I'm looking at this. But, you want – all you really need from Kyle as far as points production is, I'd say, probably 10 to 12 points. But that's got to be consistent 10 to 12 points. You can't have Kyle Anderson out there scoring 2 points, which he's had more than one game where he only has 2-3 points. And for a starting wing on your team – that is absolutely unacceptable. You just can't have it. And I don't care how well he impacts impacts the game in other ways. You got to do more. I think that really starts with the coaching staff and trying to get him involved more, whether that be playmaking, let him initiate the offense, put him in a pick and roll, put Mike in the corner, and let Kyle Anderson get in the pick and roll and see what he can do. Let him drive and then kick it out to Mike when Mike's completely open and Mike just hits a standstill three. So, but that also goes with him. He's got to be able to, he's got to cut better. He's got to make sure that he sees the ball when Mark has it in the post, that he is slashing. I mean, a lot of those things that Tony Allen used to do with Mike or with Mark on the post, a lot of those things that when people would sleep on Tony, he would cut to the basket, get an easy layup. Those are more the things you really want to see from Kyle on the offensive end. Now, defensively, I think he's great. He's really, really smart. He's a very smart player, doing a lot of things on the defensive end that it's hard to replace. And so that's why right now you live with what he's doing on the offensive end. But long term, you can't sustain him having 2 points, 3 points, 4 points. It's just not going to work. You have to get scoring, and unless you bring in, they somehow get another wing that just dominates the ball and really scores the basketball and takes that kind of load off of Kyle. But right now, there is nobody else. So until that time, even if there is somebody else, you can't have your starting small forward, score 2 points in a game. I think that pretty much is largely unacceptable. I like Kyle Anderson. I like watching him play. I'm not overly impressed with his offense, but hopefully that will come. He's averaging 6 points right now, 2.9 assists, 1.3 steals, 0.7 blocks, 5.4 rebounds. He's doing a lot on all the other fringe parts of the game and really impacting the game with his defense and his length that you live with it right now. But I think long term you want more from him. But that's it for Money Mailbag. Anyway, I appreciate everybody sending in questions. I hope you got the answers you're looking for. If not, at least it was insightful, and you can understand why I think the way that I think. And at the very least, hopefully it was insightful. Again, we'll do this every Monday. You can send your questions to me on Twitter @King_producer, or you can send it to the podcast @LockedOnGrizz on Twitter, or you can just email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. You can DM me if you don't want to tweet them out in public, or you think that's a kind of a stupid question or whatever. My DMs are open on my personal account. You can DM them to me as well. So however you want to get them to me, send them to me. So we'll keep doing this every Monday. But coming up next, we'll talk more about this Knicks loss and what the Grizzlies need to do on the offensive end. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so here it is. The Grizzlies lose to the Knicks, 103-98. Mike Conley played 38 minutes. Marc Gasol played 39 minutes. When he heard Mike Conley talk about how he was being exhausted, he looked exhausted. I mean, there's only so much Mike Conley can do. He was 8 for 24. Marc Gasol was 10 for 21. Yes, Mike Conley had 23 points, but he was largely inefficient, to be quite honest. He was 2 for 10 from 3. He had 11 assists, which is great, but, you know, very largely inefficient. Again, same thing with Marc Gasol. I mean, most of the time you would say, yeah, we're going to win the game with Marc Gasol playing 27 points, or scoring 27, Mike Conley scoring 23. But here's the other part of it. You have Kyle Anderson, 4 points. Garrett Temple, 5 points. Jamaica Green, 6 points. Wayne Seldon, 3 points. Shelvin Mack, 4 points. Marshawn Brooks, 6 points. And Amir Caspi, 4 points in 4 minutes. I don't know why Caspi only played 4 minutes. I have no clue what happened there. But that's why, you know, I don't know. He didn't seem hurt. He was in the locker room after the game. Nothing seemed wrong. I just think that JB saw something that he wanted to roll with, and that's why he only played 4 minutes. Marshawn Brooks only played 11 minutes. He was 3 for 6 tonight and scored 6 points. But, you know, I think the problem is you're going to have these nights where, you know, your defense is still there, because I mean, it's still a good defensive game. But the thing that they have been doing in the previous games that they are not doing now is turning the ball. They're getting turnovers, getting points from turnovers. They only turned the New York Knicks over 7 times tonight, something they had been doing previously at a clip of like 15, 16, 17 turnovers in the past 3 or 4 games. It's been like 7, 8, 9, just something that was really a part of their game defensively that led to running out and getting faster points. You heard Mark talk about it in the postgame, you know, running and getting easy layups. And that was something they were doing really, really well. Even in this first part of this game, the Grizzlies were absolutely dominating points in the paint at a clip that was not, you know, was on pace to eclipse their average for the NBA easily. And they had, in the first half, they were doing great. And then second half, the third quarter, they just fell apart. Knicks outscored the Grizzlies 35-19 in just the third quarter. And that's your problem. Because the first quarter, 26-21 Grizzlies. Second quarter, 26-22 Grizzlies. Fourth quarter, 27-25 Grizzlies. So, you know, you have that one outlier. And for certain, whatever reason, they just fell apart defensively. And then in the end, when you're trying to come back, like Mark said, you're really, really tired. It takes a lot to come back from that sometimes, and you're playing Mark and Mike 38, 39 minutes, and man, at the end of the game, there wasn't much going on. It was Mark and Mike pick and roll for possession after possession, and just nothing was happening. They knew exactly what the Knicks knew exactly what the Grizzlies were doing, and they were rotating early, forcing Mike to take a bad shot into the body of somebody and either hopefully getting the call, which who knows, that may or may not have happened, or throwing the ball out to someone like Shelvin Mack, which he did, and Mack takes a contested three and he airballs it. And then at one point you do initiate the offense with Shelvin Mack, but all it ends up being is a down screen for Mike Conley. So Mike Conley runs up to the three-point line, gets the ball from Shelvin Mack, and then it turns into a side pick and roll. I mean, it's literally the exact same offense. So I understand at the end of games and clutch situations, you're going to go to your pick and roll. You're going to go to your bread and butter as your two best players, and that's great. But you got to have something. You have to have something else, some thread of something to get Mark and Mike some room to operate. You know, and then you have Jaren Jackson Jr., who had 7 blocks, was 6 for 6 from the field, 4 for 4 from 3, with 16 points in 29 minutes. The kid was amazing tonight. I mean, defensively, he was the reason they got back in this game in the fourth quarter defensively. It wasn't Mark. It was Jaren Jackson Jr. He was the reason that they were doing what they were doing. And so you want to see, I said it before, I don't think that JB's going to go out there and run stuff for specifically for Jaren. I mean, I don't know. At this point, I think you have to do something, though. He has clearly shown that it's not what he's going to do, but at this point, you got to do something, because right now what you're doing isn't working. The offense you're getting from everybody else isn't working. So if you need Jaren to be that third scorer, you have to at least let him do that. Put him in some type of position to be able to do that. So I'd love to see some Kyle Anderson, Jaren Jackson pick and rolls. I mean, You know, for the longest, I mean, Enes Kanter was the one killing the Grizzlies for a large portion of this game tonight because Jaren was having trouble guarding him on the offensive end. Well, you know what? If they're going to make you pay for putting Jaren on Enes Kanter on the offensive end, you have to make them pay for putting Enes Kanter on Jaren Jackson Jr. on your offensive end. You have to put either Kyle or Mike in the pick and roll with Jaren Jackson, and you run rim run from the perimeter. We've seen how good Jaren Jackson is from the perimeter to the basket. You rim run from the perimeter to the basket with Jaren either on inter or on Kanter by himself. Put him in the pick and roll. If he switches, let Kyle take him to the basket. If he does it, if he meets the situation, let Jaren shoot from three. There are a lot of scenarios where you force their hand and force them to put Enes on somebody else or hide him somewhere else or take him completely out of the game. Because what they were doing there is just letting them get away with him sitting on the offensive end doing nothing, or on the defensive end for him doing nothing, just letting him sit there, just with Jaren Jackson in the corner doing absolutely nothing. And so, as much as I talked about how I thought JB was doing a good job, the Friday literally just said, "Oh, yeah, I got to give credit where credit is due." The last two games have been just terrible. I mean, they've just not been good in late game situations. So the Grizzlies have got to find something. And the other part of it is that, you know, you have people like Wayne Selden and Marshawn Brooks who you thought were going to be your Tyreek-esque scorer off their bench, and they have not. They have not been that person. Marshawn Brooks is largely unplayable. He shoots you out of games, bad defense, doesn't pass. You know, and then Wayne Selden has not been great. I love Wayne Selden. I like the idea of Wayne Selden more than I like the actual player, but I like the idea of Wayne Selden. But you know, he's not been great either. And so you got to do something. You got to do something that's coming off the bench. You got to, you know, either, like I said, put the ball in Kyle Anderson's hand, let him initiate the offense. If you put him in a pick and roll with Jaren, even with Mike on the floor, put Mike in the corner. Let Mike be the recipient of a wide open corner three after you put Jaren and Kyle in a pick and roll, because we've seen Kyle, he can get to the basket. He's kind of, you know, he's shifty. And so those are the type of things you have to really switch it up a little bit. You know, if you put Kyle on some down screens, get him open, let him drive, let Jaren float out to the three-point line, get him open from threes. That he's shooting them much better than he was before. But those are all options, you know, and then you have to do something other than what you're doing now, because what you're doing now isn't working. The offense especially at the end of games, is just falling apart. The offense just isn't good enough to sustain it. Even with the defense as good as it is, I mean, there are going to be some slip ups on defense. There are going to be bad quarters, sure. But if you're going to be able to be a good team to elite team, you have to find a way to get back in the game with your offense sometimes. And you know, as long as the Grizzlies have a decent third quarter, they probably win this game. And we're probably not even really having this conversation. But you know, losing changes everything. Losing gives you some perspective of what you know, the things you're doing right and things that you possibly could be doing better. So, you know, I'm not sure if it changes, to be quite honest. I don't think it changes, because from a coach's standpoint, we all say, this is what you should do, from just, you know, we're all coaches sitting here looking at the game, and this is what we all say, we should just do this right here. But from a coach's standpoint, they got to 12-5 with what they were doing, and it seemed to be working just fine then. And nobody had a problem with it then. This is a coach's thing. Nobody had a problem with it then, so why change it now? Why change the end of rotation lineup from Kyle, Jaren, or Kyle, Matt, Garrett, Mike, and Mark to Kyle, Jaren, Mark, Garrett, and Mike? You know, it's because it's been working before. So from JB's point of view, you know, he's going to continue probably to ride the horses that got him here until it goes south. And that's the problem with some coaches, that they'll ride the horses that got him there until sometimes it's too late to fix. And so hopefully the Grizzlies don't get in that situation. I don't think they will. I think the Grizzlies' offense is probably too good. Their defense is too good to let them get in that situation. I think their defense will lend more games than their offense will, that's for sure. But I think the Grizzlies need to go out and try to find a wing scorer. They don't need to go out and get Joakim Noah. That's for sure. They need to go out and try to find someone who can score the basketball off the bench. That's what they need. They need someone who can go get you buckets. They need Tyreek Evans. You know, what he was last year, going to be able to get you buckets at any moment in the NBA, any moment. You know, that's what they need. And the problem with that is it's hard to find, especially in today's NBA. And it's definitely hard to find off the way, you know, off just as a free agent, because if he was scoring the ball well, he wouldn't be a free agent, like a la Marshawn Brooks. If Marshawn Brooks was really, really good at basketball and really scored the ball well, he wouldn't be in China for 4 years. So that's a spot, that's a position that's really hard to find, especially with free agents. We've talked about some of the free agents they should, may or may not look at. And then the last part of that is that if you try to do it via trade, there's not a whole lot the Grizzlies can give up to take that back. I saw someone on Twitter tweet me that said that that's why they're getting Joakim Noah will make a Jamichael Green expendable, and they can use him as trade asset. One, I don't think he should be giving up Jamichael Green to insist that no Joakim Noah is going to be a replacement, because I don't think that's going even remotely is going to happen at all. And two, I'm not sure what Jamichael Green can even give you. Yes, he's on an expiring deal, but you know, your trade bait really is Jamichael Garrett. Yeah, I don't know what some gives you for Dominic Caspi or Marshawn Brooks or Shelvin Mack. You know, I don't know if those are going to get you anything. You know, more so than keeping them here on the roster. And so I don't think the Grizzlies are going to go out and get anything via trade, just because they would probably look at it as a situation where why go out and possibly mess up one of the best defenses that you have via bringing in someone else that might not fit. So, you know, I think the larger stay put. I think that's what they will do. That's not what they think they should do. They need to be actively looking for a secondary wing scorer. That's what they need. They don't need a Joakim Noah. They don't need that at all. But what they will do and they should do, usually probably two different things. And so we'll see how that works out. But that's it for today's pod. It's probably kind of a longer one. It was a lot to unpack of the weekend, a lot to talk about. But we will do it again tomorrow. Again, thanks for listening. My name is Mark King. You can follow me on Twitter at King_producer. You can follow the show at the Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Make sure you email me if you have any questions at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Again, I'm Mark King. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on this show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockedongrizzlies.com.